Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, Vatican Radio. On October 28, 1965, Pope Paul VI issued a declaration of Catholic education by the title of Gravissimum Educationis. Our popular Latin lover, Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, believes it is a shame this council document has so far largely been ignored. I thought I'd bring you the first part of this interview, in which I also quiz Father Foster as to how the ancient Romans viewed education. Stay tuned. We're going to speak about education today, Father. The Declaration on Christian Education from Vatican II.
Gravissimum Educationis. October of 65.
Was it a groundbreaking document, or was it just one of the less important
ones? I don't
ones?
Know whether it was groundbreaking, but as I go through it, I can't believe the glorious content that's there and the brilliance that's there. And, of course, the Latin expression is superb, absolutely superb. And I was thinking, I'd like to know, in the past 50 years, how often this document has been quoted from Vatican II. I bet 5 times in 50 years. It's a glorious, glorious thing. There are sections which are talking about education alone, and then Christian Catholic education. But even if you're not interested in Christian Catholic education, even the paragraphs and the sentences about the nature and the essence and the demands and the foundations of human education are absolutely spectacular. And you never hear anyone talking in these terms. I hate to say it.
In the first chapter, I picked this paragraph where it's written that all men...
You picked it out.
I did. You don't like it?
What? I don't know. What paragraph is that?
Omnibus hominibus cuius vis stirpis. All men of every race, condition and age, since they enjoy the dignity of a human being, have an inalienable right to an education. It's the first paragraph. Do you like that paragraph?
Let me see. I can't find it. Ah! Oh, yeah, I see. You're starting with number one, because there's a whole introduction there. And the second paragraph there is about 17 lines about young people and children, and it's just out of this world. And have you read through that? Well, I don't care. Take the first thing. It's to all people of every kind of race and condition and age, inasmuch as rejoicing in the dignity of a person, there is an inalienable right to education.
Conditionis et etatis ut pote dignitate personae, polentibus.
You have to go to polentibus, because polentibus goes with hominibus. All human beings rejoicing or being strong, dignitate personae, with the dignity of a human person.
In Latin it reads, ius est inalienabile et educationem.
Yes, yes, there is a right, an inalienable right, to education, and then it goes on, respondentem, corresponding to their proper or its proper end and their proper character and the difference of sex,
culture
accommodated, accommodatam, to the traditions of culture and of the ancestors. And he says, and at the same time...
At the same time is et simul, no?
Yes, yes. And at the same time, and you see, it's apertam in the next line is going with educationem in the third line up above. This education open at the same time, fraterne consortioni, to fraternal connection or fraternal living, cum alias populis, with other peoples. It is open for true unity and for promoting true unity and peace on earth, Why, this is a whole symphony of stuff here.
Well, Van Damme is fostering, right?
Yes, exactly. By the way, I would point out, as far as the Latin goes, this is one Latin sentence. And it's gloriously written.
Isn't it too long?
But you better know what you're doing.
Isn't it too long a sentence?
No, it's not too long, is it? In those days, it wasn't long a sentence. It was kind of stupid. Nowadays, yeah, they would think this came from heaven. But it isn't. It's just very well written, very nicely written.
Who among your friends, the Romans, might have written a document like this?
Oh, they wouldn't have, no, they wouldn't have written it. No, no. The Romans wouldn't have written this way, inasmuch as this is, what should I say, much more evolved sociologically and psychologically. They wouldn't have talked about education corresponding to one's own nature and the difference of sex and culture. The Romans, now, they didn't have those categories in their heads. They probably would have said of age and maybe social condition, but this is much more, I would say, modern or stuffed with our own kind of concepts and ideas of today. And these really escaped the Romans kind of totally. They would have said, you know, free people and slaves and children and parents and the state and citizenry, that would have been about the end of it. But this goes infinitely further, of course. Or, for example, they're to promote true unity and peace on earth. Well, the Romans, they never thought in those terms. The Romans wouldn't have had this idea, education for promoting true unity and peace on earth. Because for the Romans, it was the Senate and the Roman army which was going to promote true peace and unity on earth. So these ideas are our ideas. And that's the problem with some of these documents in Latin, because the Romans just didn't talk this way.
The army was very present in the Roman times. I read that 4th century Vegetius thought that recruits in the army were not even savvy enough to keep the books of their corps, of their army corps.
No. Of course not. But it was a totally different idea of what they were doing in the world. And in the old days, of course, it was, everyone knows that, it was a privilege to be a soldier. And you had to bring your own stuff, your own equipment, and your own provisions, and your own food and everything else. It was a privilege to be a soldier. And so it was a completely different idea. So when they come around and say that education is supposed to promote or foster unity and peace, well, that's an idea which I'm afraid just never entered the mind of the Romans. That's all. Well, that's so what? So here we have a couple thousand years in between.
But Gravissimum Educazione speaks of family. Now, the Romans were very attentive to families, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was a hierarchy there, and that the father was in charge of everything, and the women had their place, and children were to obey their parents as long as their parents were alive. Again, the concepts are completely different, and that's one of the problems that people have, that we had, even with papal documents. It's not, you know, what is an atomic hairpin or a flight to the moon. That's easy to say in Latin, but to express some of these concepts, which the Romans simply did not have, that was just like that the family would be the nucleus. Certainly the family was there, but they understood it in a different way without sociology and all our other fine things that we've thought up in the meanwhile.
In this document, when they speak about the duties and rights of parents, they talk about children and how parents should enjoy true liberty in their choice of schools. Well, did the Romans have schools?
Well, let's put it this way. One of our favorite authors, Quintilian, was the first public school teacher, but he was installed by Vespasian. But look at where we are, away after Christ there, 60, Okay, 68, there we are, to 78 A.D. So what the Romans had were private tutors. That was the big thing. The Romans would get, especially Greeks, they would get Greek, who were slaves, and they lived in the house, and it was all home education. It really was.
It was a sort of tutor, guardian, and servant of the child, no? And he was known as the pedagogus, no?
The pedagogus. Why? Because he would abide all pais, again, he would lead the child like he was the babysitter of the child and would take the child around the city. But it was a very closed, like a closed atmosphere, and schooling was done at home. And it was tutors, you had just tutors, that's all. And Cicero speaks about a famous one of his slaves who was tutoring his son and his nephew. It was later, as I say, Vespasian, in the 70s after Christ, that the first public school was established by a wonderful, really a good emperor, Vespasian. Okay, he half destroyed Palestine, but anyway. But he established the first public school, and our favorite, one of our favorite authors, who's a saint and a great man, and will be canonized, I hope, by the church someday, Quintilianus, and he was the first public school teacher on public pay. The government paid him. So the Romans didn't have schools. This is Romans for about 300 or 400 years. They didn't have schools as we understand schools of children sitting in little desks and so forth. They just didn't have that. It was private tutoring. And then the public schools began, especially schools of rhetoric, where they would prepare people to speak and be lawyers, technicians, and so forth and so on. So that took a lot of development also. So the Romans didn't understand schools as we have today, even in this document here.
But
that was a different thing.
There were schools of Latin eloquence, no?
Oh, yeah. Well, they didn't understand Latin. Yeah, I agree. Oh, yeah. Declamations, declamationes, but he used to argue cases in Greek and in Latin. That was all of your training, all part of your training and everything else. And when you were about 22 years old or so forth, after you were trained with some orator or a rhetorician in Rome, then you appeared as a lawyer and were passed, like, okay, and then you started your career as a lawyer in the courtroom and in the Senate and so forth and so on. That was your degree. It was a different system, and it just took a long time to develop this thing into what we understand as public or even private education today. But this document here that we have in front of us, I think, is absolutely heavenly. It's not being quoted, and it's not being recognized at all.
Which is your favorite passage in it?
I marked one here, which actually turns out to be the next one. The next, you know, right below number one, the second paragraph begins with pueri.
Pueri igitur et adolescentes.
Yes. This is as modern, but more modern than we are today. Children, therefore, and young people, consideration having been had for the progress of psychological, pedagogical, and didactical knowledge must be helped in order to develop their physical, moral, and intellectual endowments in a harmonious way. For heaven's sakes, it sounds like it was written yesterday.
And our thanks there go to Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, who was for many years and under many popes papal Latinist, including under Benedict XVI, and is currently teaching Latin in the United States. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.